I don't want to take a risk with it. I've seen this before.
Dear. Such a freak.
Thanks. Ready?
Yep.
This podcast may contain questionable language, will contain spoilers, and probably won't bother talking about the Oscars.
Everybody, and welcome to episode 265 of Movie Drone. I'm 1 year older, Steve.
I'm 2 weeks older than when we last recorded, Mark.
Is that how long it's been?
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. 1 year older then?
Yes.
Is that a special day?
Well, for birthday, yeah. Happy
birthday to you. Happy birthday.
Thanks, mate. I told you not to put anything out on socials.
And I abided by the rules.
You did, yeah. And I think it's just where I'm getting older. I took my photo, put your birth date on Facebook.
Mm.
I took that. No, I took it off a couple of years ago,
right,
so that it doesn't come up. Because
yeah.
I spent like all morning thanking people, like individually. And then it got to the point, obviously, where you put it on, and then probably a few people wished me happy birthday. But even that was too much effort. I couldn't be bothered to even thank people. So, I know that people probably would have said happy birthday, and I'm very grateful, but I'm so old and miserable, I didn't want to spend time thanking people.
That's fair enough, mate. Did you have a nice one, though?
Yeah, very nice.
Yeah?
Yeah, very nice. Good. Very nice indeed.
As long as you enjoyed Steve Day, that's all that matters.
I did indeed, yeah. Or day off work. That's what it was.
Was it?
Yeah. I had one day off work, and that was good. So, where have you been then, mate?
I've been all right, mate. I've had a bit of an eventful couple of weeks. I've got a rat. Right, we've got a rat in the garden. Big thing. It's like a cat, basically, right?
We had rats.
Right.
Well, just to let you know, we had someone ground to get rid of them, but then the second time they sort of come back, and we just found out where they lived, dug it up, and they went. So.
All right.
So just do that.
I know where it is.
Oh, right.
It's
just
probably
dug it up,
about underwear about you are at the minute, yeah. So it's big. It's like the size of a cat. So I've got my camera. You'd have seen the camera as you come in. So I've been watching this rat for a couple of weeks. Little fucker. So I bought a rat trap home from work, this big humane one.
Right,
so
that's good.
A cage one. So I thought, that's all right. I'll catch it, drive it out in the country, stamp on its head.
And let then, it go, you mean?
Yeah,
let
that one, if you want. So went like that. So... I come down one morning, rat trap sprung. So I thought, no rat. So got my camera, got the memory card, went in, put it in. Rat walks in the trap, trap goes off, fucker escapes.
How's he escape?
Well, because it's a humane one, it's also got an area for mice to get in.
Right.
Well, so I wired that right down. So next morning, come down, mate, thought, here we go, something big in the trap. I'm going to go and take it to the country and let it go somewhere nicely. It's a fucking hedgehog. I caught a hedgehog in my rat trap. So I like hedgehogs a lot. So I had to destroy the rat trap.
Right.
I basically cut it to pieces. It was like when they're cutting a gremlin out of the cage in Gremlins to get this hedgehog out. I put him in his hedgehog home. So he went to bed. He seemed all right. He seemed all right about it. So I've now got an inhumane rat trap, and that fucker pokes his head in, it's going to snap it off.
Oh, it's a shame, isn't it?
No.
Is it not?
No, and I'm going to pin it onto the fence.
Why, just because he's outsmarted you? This just sounds like, because he's outsmarted you want to kill him. All the while he was just a game of rat and mouse or whatever, rat and mark, then it was fun, wasn't it? But now he's outsmarted you want to fucking kill him.
Yeah, he's brought the hedgehog into it, so, I'm not happy about it, mate.
Out of order.
And then one of the little ones, right, so he said, here, I've got homework. So he was like, that's great, it's cooking. So I was like, brilliant. See your sister, she'll help you. So they decided it had to be a World War II thing. So they was going to make potato cakes. Ooh. I like a potato cake. I don't know about you. You ever had a potato cake?
I mean, probably.
So I was like, this is good. So we're hearing them talking and we're sitting in front of the telly box. And I can hear them going, Tom, potato's not ready yet. How long is it going to be? Don't know. So walk out there, mate. They've got a pan of water on with a potato, unpeeled, uncut up, sitting in half the water up to the side, this sorry little potato. expecting it to cook. And we're like, how are you going to mash that? It's got your skin on. And how's it going to boil? You'll be like 6 hours. This sorry little thing bobbling around in the bottom of the pan. So they can't be trusted.
Well, certainly not to cook dinner.
No.
Well, probably not to burn the house down.
In fairness, potato cake was all right if you like salt. Teaspoon, tablespoon. It's a difficult one to get your head round, I think, at points.
Well, you know, if you don't know, you don't know,
yeah,
do you?
That's it, but, you know. And then we got new washer dryer coming, mate, tomorrow. Right. It's got an application.
Right.
And it goes onto the Wi-Fi. What has happened to the world?
These are the ones where people say that it's like a risk, isn't it? You can get hacked through your appliances because obviously they're just like, they're not got all the like the technology of stopping people hacking them. So people are like hacking into people's Ring doorbells or they're hacking into people's fridges that are on their Wi-Fi.
So what, they're going to hack my wash cycle?
No, it's just a way of getting in on your network and shit.
I'll give them the password if they knock the door. I don't much care. But yeah, you apparently just load it all up. It's not like I'm going to know how to use it. I won't have the app.
Right.
But apparently you can control it from places. Well,
sounds good. Sounds good.
I mean, probably not, is it?
I don't know. Sounds good. Sounds fun.
Yeah, maybe. It's a bigger one, apparently, so we can wash more quicker. So.
We were going to get, I'm sure that we were going to get a kettle that had an app.
Mm.
That would have been good.
I've got a mug that's got an app. It keeps it hot. 57.5 degrees is my perfect temperature.
Oh.
And I just get on and it just keeps my cup of tea at 57.5 degrees.
I just drink it and make another one.
No, mate. I do have to, it's disgusting, so I have to have a pack of earbuds on my desk to get the skin off the top when it's sat there for too long. But, you know, here's what it is. Other than that, mate, I won't bore everyone, but I've got jaw ache. Ain't slept a lot for the last few nights.
No. Why you got jaw ache?
Don't know. I think I just slept weird one night, and then now I can't, like, do you know, because when you go to sleep, your jaw goes floppy, doesn't it? Well, within 10 minutes of being asleep, I'm up in excruciating pain for the whole night. So nice. That's fun.
All right.
I'm tired.
Interesting.
I'm tired. But how about you, mate? Other than your birthday, what'd you get? Anything nice?
Got some nice stuff. Yeah. I did. I got well treated. I went out for dinner as well. That was really nice. I had a Cote de Boeuf.
Oh, nice.
It's very nice. Yeah, really nice. And I went to the cinema.
Yeah.
And I had afternoon tea on the day after my birthday. However, I was feeling not too sociable after going to the cinema and out for a meal. So I went and picked it up and had it at home.
Good for you, mate.
Good.
I had to sit in one of them dome things for 2 hours for afternoon tea for Mother's Day.
Shit weather.
Don't know, you're in a dome, it don't matter, does it?
I suppose not. This is lightning and shit.
Nice, though, was it?
Yeah, very nice.
Yeah.
Very nice. Very recommended, yes. Yeah. And but I've hurt my side, mate. You know, my marathon training's going really well.
Yeah.
And I said to my personal trainer yesterday, you know, I feel like I'm on the threshold at the moment of being able to do the marathon currently, but also being on the threshold of an injury.
Yeah.
And I was doing a sit-up and I felt something pop in my side. Now it feels like I've torn a muscle off.
That's
the
bone. That's why I don't do sit-ups, mate.
Yeah, so now I am in quite a lot of pain. It feels like I've broken a rib, which I obviously haven't, but I think I've taken muscle off. So my 20-mile run on Sundays, a little bit in jeopardy. But, you know, we've got enough time to...
Do you schedule these injuries in?
No.
Last time, I remember watching you on Telebox on the live cam, watching you, like, drag your leg over and stuff. It was like a scene out of one of these zombie things.
No, I don't. I was almost in tears yesterday because everything was going really nice. Got me new shoes and everything. And, you know, I felt really good.
Yeah.
And then this happened and, like, I wasn't a nice person to be around. Last night I was very angry at what I'd done, but you know, it's no fault of mine really. I just done a sit up and it happened. So I've got boxes to lug around tomorrow as well at work and stuff. So I'm a little bit down in the dumps.
I get it, mate. I get it.
But you know,
get it.
Let's try.
We're getting old, aren't we? Bodies are shit when you get old, aren't they?
They are indeed, mate.
Sleep now and wake up with injuries. That's how bad it is.
Pretty much. Pretty much. So you got any thanks, mate?
Yes, mate, I've got thanks to Right Stuff Reviews, to Little Nick, Awesome Movie Year, Keith Noakes, Timmy, WTM, Mike and Oscar, Watch If You Can.
Thank you very much to all the retweets from those people. I've got special thanks this week to Jill, Cassie, Jamie Russell, Emma at Movies, LJ Human, Ian McIntyre, Mr. Positivity and Eric, Kareem Halliwell, Ben and Paul from Filmbusters, Movie Jewel Podcast, Ryan and Glenn. Just want to say, very special Thanks to all the people that got me cards and presents. Thank you very much, Mark, for your present, and obviously Jill for hers, and everyone else who did.
I'm glad you feel touched about it.
I do. Promo?
Yes, mate.
Are you troubled by the dominance of the Marvel and DC cinematic universes?
Do you experience feelings of dread and dreamscapes while watching the latest David Lynch offerings?
Have you or your family seen anything better than Whiplash?
If the answer is yes, then don't wait another minute. Open your podcast catcher and subscribe to The Professionals.
Filmbusters. Our courteous and efficient staff is on call 24 hours a day to serve all your cinematic needs.
Oh, come on, how can it not? That was so interesting.
I didn't care for shit.
It's one of the worst I've seen this year.
But I think it's a great study on mental health. It's great. And give Joaquin that Oscar. Give it to him.
Well, there might be someone else.
It might be, but give it to him. Just give him an extra one.
Wait a minute, did you say you shed a tear?
Yeah.
Oh, victory, oh, sweet victory.
Wow. At the very end, that ended. Yes.
I was actually handing an olive branch, but then you could not accept it.
That's right. Bullshit. I'm sorry. It's an empty shell of a film.
This film, I can't see anyone who'd enjoy it. I don't even know who it's for. I think it's probably even meant to be for us. And like, if we're not finding it good, who's finding it good?
Well, that's fucking cinema, man.
Filmbusters. We're ready to enlighten you. Nothing makes me feel good.
And there we go. That's our friends, Filmbusters. I think the last episode, 27th of February. Is that when it was? Kids Return, it was called. Never heard of it. Yeah. But sounds good.
One of Ben's foreign language ones.
Yeah, I know LJ Human was very impressed with that episode. But yeah.
I think that's their old promo as well. Do you know, yeah. I got all mixed up with their ones, didn't I? And then one of them still labelled up as a trailer. And yeah, that's the one. And you know what they say about sequels. So that's the original one. Yeah, I think.
So, so those lads, are they back now or what? I don't really know.
I think they're like us, mate. I think they're just struggling to fit everything in. From what I heard last one, I think Adam's going to start a new job.
All right.
Obviously, Paul's got the kids going on, and then Ben's off doing his film thing. So I think, you know, lives and shit, they don't even have to meet up either. They just flick a computer on, and they have I think they only work a day a week, by the sound of it.
Nice.
They're always having their breakfast when they're recording.
Are they?
Yeah, I'm like,
oh, right.
It's weird. You can hear Adam going on cereal and stuff.
I don't even know if I'll get this one edited.
No.
Because I'm only obviously got a working Saturday, so it might not even come out on Sunday.
I think there's two options, mate. Either it does or it don't.
That's it.
That's what it is.
Something anyone noticed last time.
No.
Not that, does it?
No.
So please listen to our friends, the lovely Filmbusters.
Please.
Go on then.
Welcome to the Mark reads some film lines in some similar voices and Steve has to guess the film from the lines read to get points game. Hashtag, what's that film?
So, this is still the quiz. I don't think I'd done too bad last week. I think I was like a four or something. I think it was a four, mate.
Was it?
It was a four. Don't try and undercut me. What was it and who got what?
It was Groundhog Day.
It was. I got four. I remember.
Have a five for all I care, mate. Jill got a five, though. That's good, isn't it? Let Down got a five. Emirate Movies got a five. Jamie Russell got a five. Peter and Movie Jill got a three. Kareem got a five. LJ, mate, my favourite one. Fuck all.
He's going to be really annoyed. Does he still not know what it is?
Oh, he is really. No, he knows what it is.
Oh, you told him.
Yeah, he sent me. I think he Googled it after.
Oh, did he?
And then he sent me a little gif with it saying he don't know who's angrier at me or himself. I mean.
Oh, dear. Even I got
imagine
that one.
Being bothered about it.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Even I got it and I don't give a shit. So what have you got for us this week, mate?
5 points, mate. What's that feel? Wanting people to listen. You can't just tap them on the shoulder anymore. You have to hit them with a sledgehammer, and then you'll notice their strict attention.
I mean...
I don't remember this one, innit?
Fucking hell. I don't know, mate. Jesus.
4 points. What's that film? He's a nutbag. Just because a fucker's got a library card doesn't make him Yoda.
I take it it's one that I should know.
Probably not from them two.
Right, but, you know. Okay.
I can imagine some fours coming in from that one. I think someone...
Well, at least you've made it sensible this week. No, I don't know.
Yeah. 3 points. What's that film? You're no messiah. Your movie of the fucking week. You're a fucking T-shirt at best. No. No. What decent punt? Not right. Anywhere near, but you know. Well, no, actually, I think you're more right. No. Okay. 2 points. What's that film? We catch John Doe, and he turns out to be the devil. I mean, if he's Satan himself, that might live up to our expectations. But he's not the devil. He's just a man. Yay! Hey.
Oh dear, there we go. Go on, finish it off.
Number one then, mate, for 1 point. What's that film? What's in the box?
Oh dear, you know, some people might get...
I think the number four might be, you know.
Yeah, possible. maybe. Talking of the devil, did you see that Little Nicky 2's coming out soon?
Question time, should we move on?
Did you?
Oh, mate, he's making more money than anyone at the moment, isn't he? And he's doing that. He's shown us what he can do, and he's like, you know what? Made a load of money.
I know. I think it's out soon. I'm pretty sure, unless I've been duped, but I'm pretty sure it's out, like Netflix or something have done it.
I won't be wrong. I will flat out, even if you give it to me as homework, that'll be the first homework that doesn't get completed.
It'll be the first homework.
First homework. Okay.
So please let us know what you think it was and how many you think you got via DM only, please.
Please.
Moving on.
Yep.
This is... Still by the skin of our teeth, we're staying away from doing quick fire questions. So if anyone's got a question for next week to avoid quick fire questions, where can they send it, mate?
They can send it via Xaroony, which is @movie_drone, or via email on moviedronepodcast@hotmail.com.
So I'm not sure whether I want anyone to or not. You know, I love quick door questions.
No, I did say that when this one come in and I was like, no, I can see why it's a good one, but at the same time, a little bit disappointing.
So shall we move on again? This is the next section. This is the section that we love to call
Question Time.
Question Time. Time for the question time.
There we go. So who sent in a question? What's it about, mate?
A bit of a story to this one, mate. I'm sitting there. Me and Miles in my office, we have these deep chats and we put the world to rights and we start frying our brains thinking about stuff. And we was talking about AI in films and things. And he went, oh, I wish someone had asked you a question about that. I went, are you posing a question to the podcast there, Miles? He went, yes, I am. And he said, what do we think AI will do to the movie industry and effects? Mark Miles has sent his example what he thinks is going to happen.
Is he?
He thinks eventually we're going to be able to choose any movie with any cast. So we can go like Jaws with John Cena and they'll be able to like put John Cena in.
Right. Okay. Right. Yeah, I mean, possibly. With his mannerisms and shit? I mean, is it going to write it specifically for John
Cena? I don't know enough about
it. Because you could write Jaws with John Cena by just replacing one of the characters with John Cena and that is the job. I could do that.
What, on AI?
No, if you say, if for instance, if you wanted to remake a film with a different actor, I could probably do that.
Well, no, literally, you could play Jaws on Amazon streaming and you could choose your cast and it could AI him into it.
Oh, what, you mean like a live thing? Well, so like you choose it at the time and then it would do that?
Yeah, you could just...
Right, okay, fuck me. There's something to think about, isn't it? You'd just be watching every film. With, what's her name?
Florence Pugh in it. Yeah, sounds good that, mate.
Wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Pretty much. Little Nicky with Florence Pugh. Now, I'd watch that. Yeah. Fuck me, I'd watch that.
You're in that.
Yeah. That would be hilarious. So, what do you think then, mate? I don't know.
I mean, my thing, I started going off on one and then realised that the point I was making already actually exists. Mm. But I think it could go a bit more. So I think we could end up with movie stars that don't exist. So we could literally have celebrities that appear in movies that don't actually exist in real life. Mm. And it sounds a bit mad, but then you've got people like Mickey Mouse and Woody and Buzz and things like that already don't exist. But we could literally have, you won't need voiceover actors.
Yeah, you need actors.
You wouldn't need actors. You could just, you could just literally have holograms of people that don't, they ain't going to get cancelled. I ain't going to say something stupid.
I mean, there is a possibility that you could have exactly that. So people that don't exist that are made up in a
that could go cross movie.
Yeah, but what worries me, right, is not so much that. It worries me about the human race and their need to idolize people, and the fact that these completely made up people will be idolized by the weird human fandom people. You know, people that just...
You can have them around for dinner. You could put your Apple goggles on and go, Apple Siri person, bring Jolie Johnson around for dinner. And you could sit there, put your little visor down, and she's sitting there eating pasta.
It worries me because there's a lot of weirdos out there. I don't mean weirdos, but people with, like, mental health issues. I mean, there are a lot of weirdos that would obviously be...
you can't murder and kill someone that don't exist.
No, but, you know, I mean, idolising things that don't exist is a worry, you know, for I don't know.
I don't know, mate. Most of the population tend to, in my opinion.
I mean, at the moment, I think it's only good enough for a support function. So I still think at the moment...
Yeah, this is the mega future, isn't it? How quick it's all coming on.
I wouldn't be surprised if there are script writers and that are using it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I did read something about someone who asked AI to write some chapters of a book he was doing, and then he's basically just proofread it and changed it and done it. But the bulk of the work was done by them. So I imagine there are people who are doing it at the moment, and they're probably proofreading that. So as a support feature at the minute, I think it was okay. You'd probably have to check translations and things like that. And, you know, I'm not sure how you would go about a film that uses slang terms and things.
We
couldn't see Guy Ritchie being able to get AI to write one, you know.
I got a bloke at work who does some of his emails by it, and when you get CC'd into one, you're just like, that don't even sound like a human's written there.
Yeah, okay. They actually reckon, like looking into it, they reckon from 2030 onwards, they reckon it could have a larger role or even take over production completely.
Mm.
So obviously with editors, producers and stuff.
I've wondered.
So not long, not like 6 years.
Whether you could just go, hey, get Siri Google man, make me a film with a shark and a parrot, and the parrot's the main character.
Have you not used it?
No.
Have you not tried?
No.
All right,
I'm not interested in the slightest. I think it is the thing that is going to end human race.
But just as even just like a, you know, curiosity.
Well, no, I say I haven't. I'm probably using it every day, but I suppose Siri and that comes under AI and bits, doesn't it? But I've got no interest in it entering my life. I should embrace it more because I think it's a future, but I also believe it to be the devil.
Well, I used it to help me with one of the questions once because I was curious. But I think that its knowledge base was limited up to a certain year, so it didn't really help me fully.
Okay.
But it came up with some ideas. Mm. So, you know, I've had a little bit of a dabble and dipped my toe in the waters. But I don't really know. Would it have the same appeal? Would it have the same appeal of these AI people?
I suppose it's how good it gets, doesn't it? And it's like, oh, I wonder how it affects budgets, because at the moment we're putting loads of people in little rooms and they're doing all this stuff on computers, and CGI is expensive, isn't it? Like, you see some of these CGI films, you look at the budget and you're like, fuck, and they've not had to do sets. They've just all sat there and created this shit.
Or just what makes me laugh is it Christopher Nolan who says that he doesn't like doing CGI as much or something, is it? Yeah. And he said he wanted to do a horror film and someone was laughing, saying... yeah, you'll have to bring back one of the serial killers, use a proper serial killer or something if you don't want to use CGI. Well, that's quite funny. But yeah, one of the main things I was thinking about is, would it be the end of the intellectual properties? So like Batman, Spider-Man and that, would they allow a AI to write films with, you know, Spider-Man, Batman, whatever? You know, how would Disney and all that feel about handing over their intellectual property to an AI.
I mean, I'm thinking future ahead, but I'm thinking everyone would be able to create their own film pretty much. So we could have films coming out thousands a week, thousands and thousands of films a week, because the possibilities would be endless, wouldn't they?
But they say
Could you change an ending?
Well, they're saying that a push of a button, you could have a film without the need for a cast, a crew or a script.
Yeah. Literally anyone could, as long as you come up with a rough idea, and you could probably even put into AI, give me a good idea for a film.
Yeah, but now if anyone can make their own, there'd be no need to make for an AI to make films for anyone to go and see, would there? If you
no,
could
but
turn
that's why
say,
I'm worried it's going to go. I genuinely think it's going to end up like that, because there will be, like, There's a scene in a film I see where he said, oh, there used to be four pictures come out a month. Now there's four every day. And it's like, I think we could literally see more people on these lower quality films coming out, but you could just, they will just pebble dash it.
But don't you think that at the moment as a society we crave personalization?
So
we crave the fact that we can pick up anything from Netflix, from Prime or whatever, and watch anything, and we don't have to wait a week for it to come out, and we can watch them all, and we can personalize our home screen and all that. So if we could put an idea and say, right, actually I want to watch a horror and I want it with these actors and this is the premise that I want it to be, and I want it to be an hour and a half long, press and it does it, and you then sit there and watch it, you know, there'd be no, I mean, it would obviously kill cinema, it would obviously kill actors and everything, but you'd be able to watch a film that you wanted to see at the time. You wouldn't have to search for it, you wouldn't, it's the ultimate personalization.
It is. I mean, I wouldn't be able to afford it because AI would have taken my job. So
I don't think AI can fucking hit nails in a wood, mate, unless you build a robot to do it.
I think you'd be surprised, mate. I think all these, I see all the CNCs and stuff in production and they're doing all shit.
Yeah, but if your company doesn't invest in the robots, you can't just speak to a laptop and say, can you build a window, and it fucking walks off and does it.
To a point, but you can reduce it. I mean, I can't even get decent Wi-Fi, so I ain't having one of these house robots because he'll break down. Like, oi, Johnson, can you go and get me a Coke or something out of the fridge? And it was connection dropped. And then I'd have to get it myself anyway. But
it'll be self-aware anyway, we need Wi-Fi.
I do think it's dangerous in art, I think, AI.
Yeah, I mean, you know, these actors.
You won't even need any talent.
Script writers and actors and that, you know, they must be a little bit wary of it. Especially, so, you know, they're going on strike for more money. Like, people are like, well, you know, we don't need to pay any money. We just use this. So I don't know. It's obviously going to change. It'd be interesting to know. I would hope, you know, that if it does, I do live to a point where I can press a button and watch a film that I totally designed in my head 30 seconds earlier, just to see it once. Do you know what I mean? Just to see that.
I'm desperately hoping that it fails dramatically at some point and there's some huge big rules coming.
I want to be in the first annihilation of humans. That's how I want to go out, with Skynet completely destroying the human race.
Hey AI, make Grease 2 with me as a main, Grease 3 with me as a main character.
There you go.
Oh, I'm in, mate.
There you go.
Grease 3 with Mark from Movie Drone. Yeah.
There you go. So you're coming around, don't you? Well, that's what I think. I think at the minute it is more of a support function, but.
Coming on quick, though, isn't it?
If the experts are saying by 2030 that there's a possibility that they could run productions and stuff, then who am I to argue? I know a little.
Scary.
It is. Mm. There you go.
Yeah.
All right. Done with that?
I think so.
Good.
Do you reckon we get some more Hollywood strikes because of it?
I don't think anyone will care. They just go, it's all right, you can strike. Just don't bother coming back to work. I'll just get this computer to do it.
Yeah,
just get Mark from Movie Drone.
Yeah, and Grease 3 coming out next week.
So, mate, thanks very much, Miles. Anyway,
yeah,
thanks very much.
Interesting.
So we move on?
Yeah.
We saw a film?
We did, mate. We saw a film. It's currently 8.1 out of 10 on IMDb, rated an R. 2 hours, 21 minutes, builds a comedy, drama, romance with a synopsis of the incredible tale of the fantastical evolution of Bella Baxter, a young woman brought back to life by the brilliant and unorthodox scientist Dr. Godwin Baxter. $35 million budget, so far grossing $109 million.
This is directed by Yorgos Lanthimos, starring Emma Stone, Mark Ruffalo, Willem Dafoe, Rami Youssef, Christopher Abbott and Gerard Carmichael.
2023's... Poor things.
Clip.
No. She's an experiment.
Good evening.
Her brain and her body are not quite synchronized. But she is progressing at an accelerated pace.
Tell me, where did she come from?
I shall. For it is a happy tale.
I am Bella Baxter, and there is a world to enjoy, circumnavigate.
It is the goal of all to progress, grow.
A woman plotting her course to freedom. How delightful.
There we go. There we go. The incredible tale about the fantastical evolution of Bella Baxter. What did you think of 2024? 4 for us. Poor Things.
Initially, mate, I was blown away by this initially. Then I got a little bit disappointed with it. And now I'm back to being much more blown away again. I think I've talked myself out of it. It's a story of a lot of films of late. I felt the first two acts were sublime, absolutely amazing. Then it felt like it lost something. But I think it needed to. In some of these other stories, I don't think it needs to. But I think the character development in Bella Baxter ruined the character a little bit for me. I thought as she evolved through, we lost her and I missed her from the start. But I think we got the arc of Duncan, Mark Ruffalo, coming up to balance it out. But his character's just not as strong. And I'm just thinking, he's having a movie podcast ruining my movie watching? Am I looking at stuff too much?
Probably. Let's stop.
Yeah.
Stop now.
Yeah, okay.
Let's just
how about
now,
you, mate?
I watched it a couple of times.
Okay.
I thought it was better second time. Yeah. I think I was tired the first time. Before watching it, I was pretty sure it was going to be better than Dream Scenario. I was going to say I thought it would be my film of 2023 because I thought we would class it as when it was originally released, but for us it was 2024, wasn't it? I thought it actually came out at the end of 2023. But it probably sits about level after the second watch, but it was under, I think, Dream Scenario, I think, okay. I enjoyed just slightly more. It wasn't what I thought it would be, to be honest. I stayed away from all the teasers.
Yeah.
I saw a couple of trailers and I saw a little bit about her dancing and stuff.
I don't think the trailers give too much away.
I don't think
actually.
You can. Really? No, I don't think you can. I mean, it's I know. It's based on a book. It's like a, what is it, Frankenstein vibes?
Yeah.
In there, you got that. Yeah. And what I struggled to figure out the time zone. It almost felt futuristic at parts, but it was more Victorian, wasn't it?
Well, I've likened it. I've put it's almost steampunk.
Well, yeah.
Because I sort of got that mix between old and... Because we got the new school stuff, like with these trams, cable trams, but everything kind of had a steam engine with it.
Yeah.
So I've gone steampunky for my theming.
Yeah.
Whether that's right or not, I don't know.
Victorian steampunk, that's what we call it. But yeah, I just thought it was it was pretty good. You know, it's one of those where I sat down to watch it and I never realised that it was going to be a film... that would make me think about what it would be like to experience everything again.
I know.
You know? And like, you know, it's...
Including shoving an apple up your hoo-ha.
Yeah. I think the word fantastical is perfect.
Oh, amazing.
For it, you know. And, you know, there's other things about men's relationships with women and their need to suppress them and all that. But the true thing is you're watching someone... experiencing everything for the first time again, and you know it makes you think, and I think, you know, it's a fantastic film.
I mean, I think Emma Stone was perfection. I mean, we saw a lot more of her than I expected a lot often. I mean, even the boobies game for me become a little bit boring. Started off quite excitable, by the end of it I'd given up.
It's because she was whoring, that's why.
Yeah, but it's just I mean, I've seen a lot of things dealt in her win for Best Actress.
I can't see anyone else winning it.
She played that character with an inch of her life. And I think my disappointment, if there's any in this film, is just the fact that we kind of looked... Bella Baxter grew up. She really commanded every bit of me at the beginning in the first two acts. By the end of it, she'd grown up and she'd become...
Strong.
Yeah, well, I like the strong element of it. But I think, like you say, that discovery of stuff, she'd become... involved in the world and knew a bit more, and she was a lot more intelligent. And it wasn't that she wasn't intelligent, it was just she was hilarious. She was absolutely brilliant.
I mean, I thought she was great. I thought
she did. I mean,
the mannerisms of a child and you
it
know,
was funny. Yeah. It was really, really funny. And I still think she played the older version fantastically, but I just think Bella Baxter growing up. She's one of my favourite characters ever that's been brought into film, I think.
The good thing is it did feel like Bella Baxter had grown up. It didn't feel like a different character. You could still... It still was Bella Baxter, but, you know, we watched her experience all these things and, as you say, growing up, and you can believe that it was the same character all the way through, you know, and you'd watch this evolution of this person going through. It wasn't like a completely different... person.
No.
You sort of fell in love with her at the start, and you know, at the end of it, you were really happy of what she'd become.
Well, I think this is why I had to have a word with myself, because I was like, there is a reason that the... I wouldn't say... It certainly doesn't flatline, but there's a reason the last act brings it all together in the way that it does.
Mm.
I mean, for me, I thought Mark Ruffalo was fucking brilliant. I've heard a lot of stuff about him saying they didn't rate him.
Oh, I thought he was
absolutely... For me, he was up there nearly with her.
I thought it was career best. You know, yeah. I'm so gutted because I wasn't a fan of Oppenheimer. Didn't really get into it. Spoke to a lot of other people who said they thought it was boring. And you know, I'm not so sure on it. I'm sure it is a fantastic film, but I did find it just a bit overwhelming at the time. And Robert Downey Jr. was in it. But this performance for me, this Mark Ruffalo, certainly deserved for me of Best Supporting Actor.
I think so. I think half of it's the cleverness of the film and the writing as well, because I felt like their arcs moved in opposite directions.
It was perfect.
He was calm and collected at the start, and she was an absolute nightmare.
They met in the
middle where they was both still a bit cranky, and then he got madder as she got more sensible.
Yeah.
And I thought, I don't think I've ever seen a film that I can remember that had a character arcs opposite that worked so well.
I mean, it was great. Obviously, I mean, it's a bit weird. Obviously, she was supposed to be more childlike then, but it was a constant questioning of everything, you know, and like just driving him insane. And then obviously, as you say, it got to the point where they crossed, and then she started to be more confident and make her own. He thought he was going to be able to control her, and then he found out that he couldn't, and then he was losing that. And, you know, he wasn't used to falling in love, and he had done. And at certain points, we've all been in situations like that, you know, when you're younger and you have infatuations with people and that. And those sorts of things that happen do make you lose your mind a little bit, but his turn into sort of insanity was absolutely fantastic. And I think that one thing that obviously Yorgos Lanthimos does is the dialogue, the way that he does dialogue and the way that he has people speaking differently in all the films. We had it in Killing of Sacred Deer and
Lobster.
The Lobster and that. Yeah. And, you know, and all the sort of the same actors that he uses as well.
Yeah.
And this one was just as stunning, you know, the way that he spoke. And obviously the childlike way that Emma Stone spoke as well. And she was speaking in third person and all that all the way through. It must have been so difficult to get all these lines right. And I could just see the way that it all came together. It was great. I mean, he's a fantastic director.
I think he's done something quite magical. Because if you watch his other films, they are fucked. And this is fucked. But he's allowed them to come in and Hollywoodize it a little bit, because it is a bigger film. Probably a bigger cast. It is gone for award season and stuff like that. And it's quite risque, but it's still mainstream and award worthy. And I think this is, for me, I always felt he was a bit niche. And I think this has brought him into the front of actually, he's a very serious, amazing man who can do. I've watched so many interviews with the three of them, and he's such a decent guy.
Wow.
And they're all sitting around laughing, and they've all got a really good relationship. And he's going to do some fucking brilliant stuff.
35 million as well.
But good money, isn't it?
It is good money.
And they used, I watched a little clip about the boat. Have you read about the LED screen?
No.
So do you know when they're on the boat and she's chucking the books over?
Right.
Or he's chucking the books over, and you've got that weird sky in the background and the sea? Yeah. That's real.
Ooh.
That's an LED screen. They only had to fill in the top little corner. But they had a whole LED screen going across there.
Right.
So it weren't added as CGI, it was done as...
Well, let's just talk about the colours and stuff.
Oh.
So, yeah, I mean, I've had or read artists and cinematographers and all that, just who are all blown away by the colour palette that was used and the colour saturation and how he got all of the different colours into the single shots. Apparently it was an outstanding job, and it looked beautiful, but the actual... you know, the scientific part behind it, I'm unsure how difficult it was to do, but apparently it's like a great, you know, really, really great.
This is what I wanted to see, weirdly, from Wonka, a magical thing to look at.
Right. Yeah.
And I didn't get it from there, whereas this one, it just, everything about it looks, I mean, a wardrobe and her outfits were cranky,
yeah,
but they were amazing.
Did it win costume? or did it not?
I don't know. I've still got them taped. I didn't catch up with them. I saw the main ones.
Yeah, I can't remember. I can't remember whether it won costume and thingy. It might have done. It should have done. Probably did, but I can't really remember. No Oscars talk. We're not doing that, are we?
Nope.
So,
another role written for Willem Dafoe as well?
Willem. Not William.
No, I've got it written as Willem.
Yeah, I mean, he was great, wasn't he? I mean,
written for him, wasn't it?
Some of the things. I mean, his actual story or his backstory that he kept saying, as though it was just normal about the way his dad used to abuse him and shit like that. And obviously, he's on the machine that does the bubble to.
I didn't like the bubble burp. That I think that is about the only thing. I could get behind the machine, and I almost wanted it to be a disgusting burp, and everyone go, I didn't like the bubble.
Right.
Small thing.
I mean, the story behind it was fucking great. Brilliant, He just like completely abused, and he just spoke about it as though it was. Yeah,
it's science.
And, but yeah, I thought it was good. All in black and white, you know, his parts and stuff, and a true Frankenstein story behind that.
And you don't question like the dog chickens. You just accept there's dog chickens and dog ducks and rabbit chickens and stuff. And it's like, this is. It should feel nuts.
I do like the way that it sort of kept those bits, though, enclosed with him.
And didn't
put them out into the world, you know, like it becomes sort of like an Island of Dr. Moe's sort of thing.
Yeah, but it was his little secret and his little bit, wasn't it?
Yeah, I liked that. I liked the fact that it didn't go too fantastical away from him.
And the actual world building was incredible.
It was, yeah. I mean, I've actually got the name of the cinematographer, Robbie Ryan, written down because, you know, I thought that was great.
Well done, Robbie Ryan.
And the locations. What?
Robbie Ryan, well done.
Yeah, 100%. Because, the sets.
It's half the film, isn't it? All joking aside, Yorgos Lanthimos has done great. All the actors and actresses have done great. But without that big wow factor and seeing all of that, that is as big a part of the film as any character.
Yeah. What were your favourite scenes? Any favourite scenes?
The cake scene.
Right.
Or when she's drinking and she's drinking to excess. All them sort of things where she just can't control herself.
Where she just pans her in the corner.
The plate off the table, admittedly crying. Because everyone's been in that situation where you're looking at a kid and you go, don't do that. Or like we had it with the dogs when they used to go to run away and they'd look back at you and you go, don't you do that. And they'd do it anyway. And just making that eye contact and sweeping that plate off the table.
It's just very, I'm just going to go and punch this kid. That baby. Yeah. Yeah, we're all wanting to be there. But weird with her struggling to eat and stuff, not liking things and that. I thought that was good going on through the film. The whoring bit I thought was funny.
Just to have some of the blokes and the woman who, like the madam...
Yeah,
who run it. I mean, she was amazing as well.
The dance, I thought that was good. Yeah. That's the one thing I'd seen a clip from, but that was pretty funny. And Mark Ruffalo turning from cad to insane wreck, just like, you know, I just thought it was fucking hilarious.
Yeah, I think there was a scene too much in there, if I'm honest, when we had the double... They kind of wrecked the relationship twice, and I didn't feel like we needed that because we had the bit where she was getting married, and I know why they did it because we got to meet, but for me it just felt like we'd double backed.
Right.
And like we'd almost had the redemption, and then she got snatched off again, and then we had to have the redemption again. But I'm sure Yorgos knows more about filmmaking than me.
Yeah.
And like I say, on another watch, it's going to be stunning.
Yeah, Rami Youssef, he was all right in it. Yeah. I mean, he didn't really do.
He did what he needed to do.
Yeah,
didn't he?
Didn't really do. I mean, what
was there room for another really amazing character when you've got Mark Ruffalo, Willem Dafoe, Emma Stone? That's enough, isn't it?
It was. Yeah, it was. I mean, maybe in a different
side
film.
Side characters were great.
Yeah.
Did you get weird? I mean, you don't do emotions, but did you find it weird when you're going from a really funny sort of scene? And then we're looking over that pit of sadness. And the sadness really hit me looking down at that sort of desperation of the people.
Right.
Thought it was weird. It was very well done.
Yeah, I imagine that this is one of these that I could sort of sit and watch. Still a little bit long, you know. Yeah.
Well, that's why I felt that double back with that double redemption. I thought we could have done without one of them.
Right.
Just to knock 10 minutes off of it because it felt like we'd moved forward in the story and now we're moving back to move back forward.
Maybe the people on the boat maybe the old woman and the black fella, maybe, you know.
I loved them.
Did you? I mean, yeah, they were all right, but...
Yeah, no, I really, really enjoyed them.
I'm just trying to think about things that you could sort of cut back on that might have cut the length off.
I thought every scene was fantastic. I think potentially it's the story and how it's written that if they could have got rid of one of them, for me, but that's me.
Yeah, okay. So, yeah, we're in the middle of a downpour.
We are.
Outside, so you might be able to hear that. But I ain't got much more to say about it, mate. You know, even though it was amazing, I think people just need to watch it rather than listening to...
Yeah.
To us drivel on about it.
Be amazed by it. I mean, another one that I absolutely loved, it was just a film with a finish and it's standalone. We got no reason to go anywhere else with this.
No.
Absolutely amazing. I've gone for the big 90.
Have you?
Yep.
Okay. Even I've got 83.
Okay.
Which is still quite high, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, mate. That is.
It's quite high. So, yeah, I thought it was quite good. And I think I will, if it comes on soon, it's coming on Disney, I think, soon, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I'll be quite happy to just pop it on there and watch it occasionally.
Yeah.
All right. You watched anything else?
Yes, mate. I went to cinema. I watched Dune 2. I'm sure that's to be discussed at a later date.
Yeah.
But I've seen it. So, you know. I watched a Gentleman series on Netflix. That's good. Enjoyed that. And then I'm in the middle of a Mindhunter series and it's great. One of the best series I've ever watched. And apparently it's one of the biggest controversies that it got cancelled over COVID.
Oh, right.
David Fincher.
Oh, right.
About Quantico and the serial, like profiling serial killers.
Right.
And I've got a feeling, I've only got two episodes left, that they're going to leave it on a cliffhanger and it can never go anywhere unless they decide to do another series. But it's great.
Why don't you go on ChatGPT and ask it to write the final...
Make me a final series.
There you fucking go. I watched Ricky Stenicki on, I think it was on Netflix.
I actually want to watch, mate. It's a new Amazon one, isn't it?
It's Amazon, is it? Yeah, I watched it.
It looks all right.
I mean, it was all right. Over my birthday weekend, I was off work and it was quite funny. You know, I had a little bit of a watch, so it weren't too bad. And you'll be pleased to know, I watched Argyle, or tried to, and I didn't get far into it.
No.
It's fucking terrible.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't like the idea. If it was just a straight up spy film, I would have enjoyed it because it was sort of like, it gave me vibes of The Man from U.N.C.L.E. and stuff, that sort of stylized sort of Guy Ritchie sort of thing. But the way that it's difficult to explain without giving it away to everyone, but I didn't like it. The actual premise, I did not like, and I sort of, Jill watched it till the end, but I started doing something else, reading a magazine or something, looking at Facebook.
Woman's Own, doing your horoscope.
Do a bit of knitting or something. Yeah. So, yeah, that was that. Cool. So you'll be pleased to know about that. So, mate, moving on.
Yes, mate.
This is the next section. This is the section that we have to call...
Homework.
There we go. So this is the section where we give each other films that we love and the other one hasn't seen in the hope of uncovering hidden gems. It was me to you this week, so I gave you a 2023 film directed by Alexander Payne, starring Paul Giamatti, Daveen Joy Randolph and Dominic Sessa, running time of 133 minutes, box office of $42.9 million, 8 on IMDb, 97% on Rotten Tomatoes, with a synopsis of a cranky history teacher at a remote prep school is forced to remain on campus over the holidays with a grieving cook and a troubled student who has no place to go. Embroiled in controversy at the moment, I gave you 2023's The Holdovers.
Embroiled, you say? What is this controversy you speak of, Steve?
It's something about someone's getting sued that they have stolen word for word a script.
Oh, okay. Not really anything.
Yeah. Well, no, but it's really weird, isn't it, that if you bring out a film that you think's that good and get Paul Giamatti in it and it goes up for Oscars, that you might have stolen the fucking thing.
Yeah, but
it's very weird that you would do that and bring it out, but that's what I've heard recently. There is controversy.
Broiled, mate, broad. It's been, mate, a bloody good movie week, this. I ain't had a week like this for a while.
Have you not?
No. This was totally in my wheelhouse. It's my type of film. I thought one stage we was heading towards a sort of Breakfast Club or Dead Poets Society-esque type film. Although more like the latter, it changed into something very different, but at the same time, a bit the same. But it was really good, really good. Had a really special way of sucking me into this film. I felt I was there. I did not move for the entirety of this film, and I was in it.
Would you like to have been there?
No.
Would you like to be stuck like that with like a couple of people for over a period?
I mean, I wouldn't have been with the people, especially one that stunk a fish. But, you know, it was. I was just in there. It was one of them things, like, I think Cass tried showing me a video of a dog and I just weren't interested. I was just in it, mate. Nothing particularly new about it. Nothing particularly clever about it. And I feel like we've seen this kind of story and film over and over again, but it just had something really special about it. And I don't think I can explain it other than it's the characters and the performances. It was absolute. Paul Giamatti was just sublime. He was the best.
He was good, wasn't he?
In fairness, Devine Joy Randolph, Dominic Sessa, all three characters brilliantly written and performed.
She won the Oscar as well, didn't she?
I don't know. Did she win Oscar? I know she won a BAFTA.
Yeah, I think she won the Oscar.
Right. Well, fair play to her if she did, because that was it. I mean, they was every character was absolutely superb. I loved the fact as well it weren't all roses and everything fell into place. It did enough to warrant the story when we got to the end of it, but they didn't need to dot every I, cross every T, and everything's wonderful. You make your own mind up. I thought the comedy in there was actually really good. I thought there was enough of that in there that kept it lighthearted. And I'm guessing you were the same as Cass and found it a bit melancholy throughout?
Yeah, I suppose, yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
but that was a charm for... I'm quite an emotional person, and she was like, ooh, all he just looks emotional. He's just always got glassy eyes and stuff. And I'm sitting there with glassy eyes watching it thinking, mate, this is...
I mean, I found it laugh. I laughed out loud a couple of times. Like, there was a scene where Paul Giamatti was chasing him through the halls and running, and I thought that was... I was cracking up. I absolutely loved it. I did laugh out loud. I just found it a really good story. Yeah. There wasn't anything really heartwarming about it for most of it, which is probably why I liked it. You know, it wasn't all fluffy and like a really sort of lovely ending and shit. You know, it was there was some sort of hard stories in amongst.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's a particular scene I absolutely loved. He goes on a rant about rich people taking advantage of poor people and poor being forgotten, and made me realise it's as relevant now as it was back then. Mm. Nothing's changed, has it?
No.
And I love his attitude towards the kids where they are just entitled, and he's bitter about it. I thought that was great. And again, for a film that not really a lot happens and it's in excess of 2 hours, I'd normally say it needs a bit of a hack, but I didn't feel like it. It went so quick. I didn't waver once. I didn't move. It was absolutely great. Score on it was, I know it's a little bit seasonal, but I thought it was absolutely amazing. A beautiful setting, and really well filmed and directed. The aging of it was impeccable. I thought it was actually filmed on cellulose, looking at it, but apparently that was all added in post.
Oh, what?
I thought they had gone down that bit. I do see why it's been overlooked a little bit in the awards season in regards to film, but not the actual performances.
Right. I mean, it was up for an Oscar.
Yeah, but I can see why it didn't win in comparison to others.
Yeah,
I look at it and I don't think this is best picture material. No. I can see that there's best supporting actress, best supporting actor, them sort of awards available to it.
Yeah,
I felt a bit emotional through a majority of it for some reason. I don't really know why. I weren't weeping or nothing, but I just felt a bit warm and seeing discoveries of different people and the way they was learning about each other got me a little bit. I thought we had a good, strong message without verging into that wokeness.
Right.
You know, where it all gets a little bit too much.
Yeah.
But I thought them learning bits about each other accidentally almost was great. Other than that, it's just a beautiful little film. I can't wait to watch it again. Mm. I'm going to do it again. I can't remember the last time I did this, let alone two of them. It's a 90, mate.
Is it?
Yeah. What a week. What a week it's been.
All right.
The film. I can't remember the last time I gave one.
I mean, saying that, you know, these two films were up for the Oscars. So,
yeah,
they should, in theory, be good films. But it's sort of, I don't know, I find it quite, not that often that we have sort of a few films that are up for Oscars that we really like.
No, I don't think I gave a 90 last year. I don't even think I was close to a 90 last year.
Yeah.
You got two of them back to back.
Yeah. Be interesting to see if there's other years where we did. I mean, maybe the Parasite year, I think there was
possibly,
something else.
Yeah. I'm sure there was, but I'm just, cinema's great. This week, cinema is great.
So what you got for us next week, mate?
Oh, I got you one, mate. This left me in bits. Bits, I tell ya. So let's test your emotional... Well, I know it's not going to happen, but it's currently 7.8 out of 10 on IMDb. It's a 1 hour, 45 minutes, builds a drama, fantasy, romance with a synopsis of a screenwriter drawn back to his childhood home, enters into a fledgling relationship with his downstairs neighbour, whilst discovering a mysterious new way to heal from losing his parents 30 years ago. Starring Andrew Scott, Paul Mescal, Jamie Bell and Claire Foy. No budget on it, mate, but it's grossed $17 million. 2023's All Us Strangers left me in pieces.
Yeah, so we'll see how that goes down for you. But I shall have a look at that one.
Bits, I tell you. Oh,
God, it doesn't sound good. Right? It doesn't sound good for me. So, mate, well, there we go. There we go. So you've had a good week.
I've had an amazing week.
There we go. Good, good. So, mate, how can people contact us on the socials?
They can get us via the old Xeroony, which is at movie_drone, or via email on moviedronepodcast@hotmail.com.
And please do, honestly, we do chat about being insociable, but we do like to see the messages when they come
written
through.
Yeah, we don't have face-to-face then, do we? No. It's nice.
So do we know what we're doing next week?
Dune.
We're doing Dune 2.
Next time. Next week, mate. Oh, yeah. Don't get too excited. Next time.
Oh, yeah, I've got to discuss when I'm away on holiday.
Dune 2.
Okay. All right. Okay, so June 2 next week. All
next
right,
time.
Then. Next time. Next time.
Fuck it now.
So, mate, do you want to say goodbye to Mark?
Goodbye then, Mark.
See you later, everybody.
See you, bye.
Bye.
Oh, mate, I swallowed a bunch of synonyms last night. Bunch of them. I've got thesaurus throat I've ever had.
Uh.